Chapter 11. When pain overrides. There are times when metta is hard to feel. Severe physical pain, acute panic, deep grief, overwhelming exhaustion, these states can make warmth temporarily unreachable. This chapter is about what helps then, and it leans deliberately on the contemplative science evidence rather than on intuition alone. The key principle is this: even when you cannot feel metta, you should still want to return to it. The desire to return is itself a form of practice. As long as that desire is intact, you have not actually left the path. You are just on a difficult stretch of it. Before we continue, a note on other practices. Two practices come up repeatedly in this chapter: samatha, calm abiding, concentration meditation, and vipassana, insight meditation. Both are complete contemplative paths in their own right, with their own teachers, lineages, and bodies of evidence. They are not lesser cousins of metta, and the recommendations below are not an argument that they should be reduced to metta's helper tools. They emphatically should not. This book stays metta-centric because metta is its subject. If you find that a deep samatha or vipassana practice is what you actually want to organize your life around, that's a wonderful path. Many of the most respected contemplative teachers alive today travel it. The instructions in this chapter are about what helps with severe states for a reader of this book, not about which path is best. What the research actually shows. The contemplative science evidence for severe states is mixed across practices, and roughly looks like this. For chronic pain, mindfulness-based interventions, MBSR, MBPM, MBCT, have the largest body of evidence. A 2017 systematic review and meta-analysis of 38 randomized trials found small to moderate effects on pain, depression, and quality of life. Loving-kindness specifically has been studied less in pain populations, but a 2005 pilot trial by Carson and colleagues at Duke showed clinically meaningful reductions in pain and psychological distress for chronic low back pain patients after an 8-week LKM program. For acute anxiety and panic, slow, prolonged exhalation directly activates parasympathetic tone via the vagus nerve and reliably lowers heart rate within seconds. This is among the best evidenced immediately useful techniques for an overaroused nervous system. Concentration practices help once the body is past the worst. For depression, mindfulness-based cognitive therapy, MBCT, has strong evidence for relapse prevention. LKM has growing evidence for self-criticism and depressive symptoms, including the Shahar et al. 2015 RCT cited in Chapter 4. For PTSD, loving-kindness meditation has surprisingly strong evidence, non-inferior to cognitive processing therapy in U.S. veterans, per the Kearney et al. 2021 trial. Mindfulness has more mixed evidence in trauma contexts. Across the board, the broader 2014 JAMA Internal Medicine meta-analysis by Goyle and colleagues found moderate evidence for meditation programs improving anxiety, depression, and pain. The takeaway is that different practices help with different things, and the right tool depends on the state, not on a hierarchy. What follows is practical guidance for the most common difficult states, drawing on whichever practice has the best evidence for that state. Severe physical pain. Physical pain that fills the field of awareness makes most cognitive techniques difficult, including metta. You can sometimes generate a small amount of self-directed warmth, may I be at ease, may this pass, but the strongest evidence base for changing the relationship to severe pain is in the family of mindfulness-based observation practices. Mindful observation of pain. Rather than trying to push pain away or override it with positive feeling, you observe it directly, its texture, its movement, its intensity, its waves. You note silently throbbing, burning, aching, fading, and watch it appear and pass. Over time, you may start to see that the pain is not a single solid thing, it is a constantly changing flow of sensations, and the flow is more workable than the imagined solid block. This approach is the core of MBSR4 pain programs and has consistent meta-analytic support. Concentration on the breath. A complementary approach is to anchor attention on a single simple object, typically the breath at the nostrils or the rise and fall of the chest, and gently return to it whenever attention drifts. This is the heart of Samatha, calm abiding, practice. The mind narrows. Pain becomes one feature of awareness rather than the whole of it. The technique helps both with chronic pain and with acute pain spikes. Self-meta where possible. When the pain is severe but not totally consuming, brief self-directed loving-kindness phrases, "May I be at ease in this body? May all who suffer be at ease," can be added on top of either of the above. If pain is too severe for that, skip it, return to it when you can. Severe anxiety or panic. For acute anxiety and panic, the most immediately effective tool is breath-based regulation, and the relevant research is from physiology rather than contemplative science. Slow, prolonged exhalation activates the parasympathetic branch of the nervous system through the vagus nerve and lowers heart rate within seconds. In practice, inhale through the nose for -4 seconds. Exhale through the nose for -6-8 seconds. Repeat for 1 to 3 minutes, until the heart rate is noticeably calmer. Once the body is past the worst, concentration on the breath, Samatha style, helps consolidate the calm. Loving kindness will tend to come back online once the fight or flight response is no longer dominating. For severe or recurring panic, please see a clinician. This practice is adjunctive, not a substitute for professional care, and panic disorders are highly treatable. Cognitive behavioral therapy and exposure-based interventions remain first-line treatments, with strong evidence. Severe grief. Grief is a kind of love. It is what love looks like when its object has been lost or is being lost. So in some ways grief is closer to metta than the other difficult states. The instruction here is gentle. Do not try to override grief with cheerful loving-kindness. Let the practice include the grief. May the one I lost be at peace. May I be at peace in this loss. May all who grieve be at peace. The metta is real, even if it is colored by sorrow. Sometimes, in fact, a grieving person can generate a more profound metta than they could in less raw conditions. There is no rush to return to a normal practice. Let grief and metta share the same sit. Severe depression. For severe depression, treat the practice as adjunctive support alongside qualified professional care, therapy, medication, or both, as appropriate. The contemplative literature is encouraging. LKM has shown meaningful reductions in self-criticism and depressive symptoms, and MBCT has strong evidence for preventing relapse. But severe depression also tends to undercut the cognitive resources needed to hold a metta sit, and forcing it can make things worse rather than better. A reasonable approach: keep formal sits modest, around 10 minutes, use a benefactor or pet rather than self-directed metta if self-directed feels punishing, and lean on the structure and community of your treatment team. The practice will get easier as the depression eases. When you can only stay present. Sometimes none of the above techniques will work. Sometimes all you can do is stay present, breathe, and wait for the worst to pass. That is also valid. Sitting with what is, without making it worse, is itself an act of love toward yourself. In these moments, it can help to remember that you are not the only one in this state right now. Hundreds of millions of people on Earth are, at this exact moment, in some form of severe pain, physical, emotional, situational. Sometimes simply remembering that you are not alone in this, that you are a small drop in an ocean of suffering, can soften the isolating quality of pain and reopen a small window for compassion, for them, and through them, for yourself. Personality types and practice selection. A useful frame from the Indian contemplative traditions, offered as a heuristic rather than as endorsement of its underlying metaphysics, not all practices fit all people equally well at all times. Ayurveda speaks of three general dispositional tendencies: vata, movement, anxiety, skata, pitta, fire, intensity, anger, and kapha, earth, inertia, depression. The practical guidance the texts give for these temperaments lines up reasonably well with what a contemporary clinician might recommend. For people running hot with anxiety, restlessness, skata, breath-anchored concentration tends to help most. The grounding effect of returning to a single object counters dispersion. For people running hot with anger, intensity, conflict, metta itself tends to help most. Loving-kindness directly transmutes the combative quality. For people running cold with lethargy, inertia, depression, insight-style observation and active mindfulness tend to help most. The bright, attentive quality counteracts heaviness. Most of us are a mix of all three, and the dominant pattern often shifts week to week. Recognizing your current pattern, am I scattered, am I burning, am I sluggish, is useful information about which technique to lead with on a given day. The book remains meta-centric, but the practical answer is that whatever helps you live with more love is the right tool for that moment. A closing note. The instructions in this chapter borrow from outside meta-tradition because difficult states are an old, universal human problem and several traditions have produced excellent tools for them. Use whatever helps. If you find that one of these adjacent practices becomes a path you want to walk in earnest, follow it. There are wonderful teachers in each of those lineages and the science supports their work. This book stays metacentric because that's its subject. It's not staking a claim that metta is the only practice that matters. The world has room for all of these.